Meeting to order, Senator Wilkowski, Senator Olson, Senator Cowdery, and myself, Senator Kukesh, are here. Senator Wilken will be a little bit late getting here. We have on our agenda today House Bill 185, Senate Bill 136, SGR, Senate Joint Resolution Number 7, and CS for House Bill Number 18. What we're going to do right now is we're going to look at Senate Bill 136 as a sponsor here. Are you going to hear? And if you would, for the record, state your name and affiliation, please.
My name is Greer Hopkins. I'm staff for Senator Joe Thomas from Fairbanks.
Okay.
Our Senate Bill 136 is up on the calendar today. It's getting substituted in with House Bill 185, which is Cogdill's bill, so I was here to...
And you have a CS to combine the two bills? Is that your plan?
I believe...
I had called your boss and asked him to put a committee substitute together.
Okay, I hadn't heard that, okay.
Is there somebody here from Representative Coghill's staff? Would you take the chair, please? We'll just talk about both of them here now. I don't intend to move these bills out today, by the way. The committee will just, we'll just have a discussion and we'll just hold them.
It's a comment. The House bill has already been through the House, right? And this is the first time?
Yes, this is the first hearing.
On the Senate bill?
Yes.
So I would say we should probably deal with the House bill.
Okay.
This late in the session.
Well, we can have a hearing on...
Yeah.
What we'll do then is we'll just have... If that's all right with the rest of the committee. We'll just have a hearing on House Bill 185, and I don't intend to move it. It's pretty late in the session, and we'll just move... We'll have a discussion with you and your bill. And have anybody who wants to make comments on it, and we'll just hold them. So if you'd like to take a seat back, you can, or you can sit there if you'd like. So why don't you go ahead and present the bill, and your name, please, and affiliation for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Carol Beecher. I am staff for Representative Coghill, and I'm here to present HB 185. House Bill 185 provides boroughs a means of altering existing road service boundaries to ensure taxpayer fairness among residents of service areas. A service area is a taxing jurisdiction within a borough that has been established to provide special services such as road maintenance or fire protection. These services are requested and approved by voters residing within a specific area. State law permits borough residents living outside a service area to use service area roads for their sole or legally required access. These residents derive a direct benefit equal to residents within the service area, yet they can refuse to contribute to the costs of construction or maintenance of these roads by voting down any annexation attempt. These state-mandated annexation votes typically fail, as individuals are reluctant to join a service area when they can instead use these maintained roads for free. HB 185 amends state law by allowing a service area to vote to annex property that uses its roads for their sole or legally required access without a separate vote of the property to be annexed. A second issue arises where residents of a service area are required to pay into a service area even though they do not utilize the service area roads for access to their property. Service areas, however, are often reluctant to vote to remove property from the service area because it effectively raises taxes on the remaining property owners. HB 185 amends state law by allowing a borough assembly to exercise its judgment to alter by ordinance a service area boundary to exclude a property that does not use service area roads as its sole or legally required access.
Any questions for the sponsor? Senator Cowdery, please.
So what you're saying that the by this last paragraph that the borough can assess or make the ruling on this?
That's correct. In you're speaking to number four, our Senator Cowdery through the chair, and regarding number four on page two, that paragraph is there to allow a property or parcel that is not using the service area roads as it's legally required or sole access to go to the borough to have themselves removed from the road service area. This ensures fairness so that they're not paying for a service that they're not using.
And my concern was this. I think I spoke the last time. We're making a statewide law to try to solve a local, seems like a local problem in Fairbanks area. Is that right?
Through the chair, Senator Cowdery, we have spoken with the municipality of Anchorage and with the Mat-Su area, and they concur that this is a bill that they support.
Senator Olson?
You say that's a bill that they support. I guess I'll go back to the question Senator Cowdery had. Were they having problems with these service areas, and was there difficulty there, or did they just support the bill because of the concept, or were they, like I said, were they actually having problems of their own they're trying to solve?
Senator Olson, through the chair, my understanding is that they were also having some of these same type of issues with road service areas.
Senator Olson?
And the question that I have, as you talk about service areas and the removal of property from that area, if you have a commercial operation or a business in an area and you decide to pull your business out of there, or is there a problem with doing that? I can understand if you had private property owners that are there, that the burden of shift then goes to the remaining ones that are there. Would that same thing happen if you were a business?
If you're speaking to Section 4?
Yes.
If the property was not using the service area,
mm-hmm.
roads, as their sole or legally required access, then yes, they could petition the borough to be removed from the service area.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Have you had a chance to see if there's any opposition to it? If there is any opposition, who would that be?
There is a person actually here who's going to testify who is in opposition from Fairbanks.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for the presenter? Okay, thank you very much. Is there anybody online to testify?
Not visible, no.
No? Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll go to the audience then. Is there somebody from the audience who would like to testify? Thank you. Your name, please, and affiliation for the record.
My name is Sandra Wilson. I'm an intern for Representative Gatto, but I'm here testifying on my own behalf.
Thank you.
Okay. The sponsor came up and she talked about how this would make it fair for everyone, that everybody would have to pay into it. But it's not fair. The way that it's tallied to determine how much you pay into a road service area is done based on the amount your house is valued at. You could have the most expensive house in the road service area and have one car, and you could be paying the most. And there could be somebody who's got 5-6 cars that are using, you know, the road service with the lowest valued, and they're paying less. That doesn't seem fair to me. I feel this bill was written for Fairbanks. It doesn't work for everybody. There's been opposition when 136 was up. There's been opposition to it. People have talked about how this is a local problem. It needs to be solved locally and not statewide. There are a couple examples that were in the packet. One involves three properties. The road that they use to access their properties is not maintained by either of the service areas that are surrounding them that would be able to take them in. The other one, on Goldstream Road, that is currently in a road service area, they want to be removed. The road that they use is also not maintained by the road service areas. So did the borough make a mistake in putting them in? And this bill gives the borough more power. So do we really want to give the borough more power when they currently have already put people in that shouldn't have been in the first place?
Okay, thank you for your presentation. Are there questions from the committee for the presenter? Yes, Senator Cowdery.
This, your point of one car versus five cars, when the assessment is not made by how many cars you own, it's made by the property, right?
Correct. It should be just a set value. It shouldn't be based on how much your house is worth.
And what about a vacant lot? It just so whatever the lot's worth?
That's currently how it's done. If the lot is valued at, currently you're taxed based on the mill rates, and it's at the tax based on the value of your home or the value of the lot, and so you're taxed based on that. A vacant lot is taxed even though the people may not even live there. They don't even use the roads, and they're being taxed to keep the roads up.
but the public can use this road, whether they live there or not.
Correct. Yeah, like, say you're going to visit friends at the back of the road. I mean, you're not paying into it, but it's maintained by the group of people who do live there.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Wilkowski, and then Senator Olson. Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you. Thank you for testifying, by the way. But you're questioning the fairness of how service area members have to pay their taxes or have to pay. But this bill doesn't really address that. This bill doesn't really address the apportionment of
right.
Of
the
payment.
Sponsor talks about that they want to do this so that everybody who uses the bills have to pay, and that this makes it, you know, more fair. Well, it really doesn't make it any. Yeah, everybody who's using the roads are now paying for them, but they're not paying equally for the use of the roads. So it really doesn't, you know, make it any more fair.
But do you see that if there are certain people who are using an area and they're not paying for it, that they should probably have to pay for it?
Correct, but everybody should pay one set amount for the use of the road. Somebody who happens to have a more valued home but is using the road the same as everybody else on the road shouldn't have to pay more than the rest of them on the road.
But that this bill has nothing to
correct.
Do with that.
Correct.
So, I mean, you can address that in another bill. I'm just talking about whether or not if people use the road, you would agree with the fundamental statement that they should have to pay for the road, right?
Correct.
And if they don't use the road, they shouldn't have to pay for the
right.
road, right? Thank you.
Senator Olson?
Going back to the one-car, five-car situation, I tend to agree with Senator Cowdery that if you're it doesn't matter how many cars you got, if you only have one driver, you can only drive one car at a time, so why should the person with five cars have to pay that much more?
Well, I mean, I just kind of mean more or less if there's more people that are using the road, you could have like six people in the house, they've all got their own cars, they're all using it, but they may have the lowest valued home, mm-hmm. so they're going to pay less, but they're using the roads more than somebody who's got the more high valued home who's paying more for the roads, but they're not using it as much.
Okay, and if you continue, Mr. Chairman, if we continue on with your logic, though, that the person with the highest valued house shouldn't have to pay any more than somebody with the lowest valued house, I don't think the rest of the world looks at property tax in that same mentality, in that if somebody's got a $500,000 house, they can probably afford a $500,000 with that, and somebody that only has a $60,000 house like Senator Kukesh and myself, as opposed to the guy that drives the Cadillac over on my left here, I think that they should be paying commensurate. Don't you agree?
Right, but at the same time, somebody who's got, you know, $60 million or whatever, they're paying the same amount for a gallon of milk as you. Should they have to pay three times as much just because they've got more money?
Well, I don't think that's quite the logic. I don't think that's quite the logic that the mayor of Fairbanks has as to how he's going to be assessing property tax.
Well, no, they're using property tax. Other places use a set value, a set rate that they do it by. They don't all use it the same way. The North Star Borough does it different than everybody seems to do it a different way. And this bill works for the North Star Borough, but it doesn't work for everybody else. So why are we fixing a local problem with a statewide bill?
Go ahead.
Senator Wilkowski.
Who does this not work for?
In the last meeting that you guys had, you had a gentleman from Kenai who spoke and said that it wasn't going to work for them because their road service is attached to their sewer as well, and that's the way that they tax it, and so it's done differently because they establish road service areas differently than what Fairbanks North Star Borough does because theirs are all separate areas, and theirs is just...
Well, that was his take that it didn't work, but
the way
I understood it was that it worked perfectly fine, but is there a way that the city of Fairbanks, the city or borough of Fairbanks, can fix this without having this change?
I believe it needs to be fixed locally and
how
not
can they
statewide.
Fix it locally?
Doing a local ordinance or they.
But this is governed by state law. They can only do what the state law allows
them. But they do road services
them.
By the borough because everybody does them differently. This is meant to take in certain properties that don't want to vote. There's been a vote on one property that they've tried to annex in, but nobody will get out and vote to be able to annex them in.
I mean, maybe we can hear this from the sponsor, but I, if there's a local solution to this, I think we should look into it. I don't know that there is, though. I think they probably need to change state law in order so that they can do what they want to do locally. That's my impression.
Senator Cowdery?
But the state law was in place when they got the original. I mean, they got through it on the original creation of the annexed area. I mean, they voted it in, and that's the way it was. Now that they're having a problem, as I see the thing, having a problem with somebody that don't want in it, to force them in it, I'm fearful, sympathetic with the Fairbanks people, but I think it should be solved locally. It's a local issue. That's why I'll be voting against this.
Any other comments, questions?
The comment I have is, Senator Cowdery, you're saying that the state law was in place when the North Star Borough was formed.
Well, when they annexed this in.
And yeah. Then they annexed it in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if I could get a response, Mr. Chair, because that. I do think if there's a local solution that we should look locally, but I'm just not convinced that there is. I'm wondering if I could hear from the sponsor if they know the answer to that.
Before that we do that, we do have the North Star Borough on board too, and they might be able to make a comment. Did you have more that you'd like to offer before? Well, thank you very much for coming forward and presenting today. We really appreciate you taking your time. With that, maybe we should go to the North Star, unless you would like to address his question. Let's go to Renee Broker on OffNet to talk to us from the North Star Borough. Are you online, please, Renee? Ms. Broker?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon. My name is Renee Broker. I'm the borough attorney for the Fairbanks North Star Borough. I spoke briefly on this bill last week, and so I'm not going to try to repeat those comments. But because there appears to be some confusion about the bill, I want to kind of address those areas and hopefully clear them up. And let me start with what this bill actually does and does not do. First, this bill simply imposes a fair standard, making property eligible to be put in or taken out of the road service area based on the answer to a very simple question. Does your property use service area road for its sole or legally required access? If the answer is yes, your property can, with the consent of the existing service area, be placed in that service area so you can contribute to the cost of the service that you're using. If the answer is no, the local government can take your property out of the service area so you do not have to pay for a service that you do not use or benefit from. And this part, even though the gentleman from Kodiak, I think that represented our service area, had some issues with that, this was fully supported by our service areas because even though they recognize that they might lose some revenue, they still strongly believe that if a property could be put in the service area because it used its roads for a sole or legally required access, then fairness required that the property also be eligible for removal based on that same exact standard. Second, this is a one-size-fits-all bill because the actual decision whether to put property in or take out of a service area will be a local decision made only after a full public process so that the fairness and equities of a particular situation can be discussed and weighed. In other words, this legislation simply restores the ability of the local governing body, as originally contemplated in our state constitution, to alter service area boundaries if the proposed alteration meets the fairness standard that's specified in this legislation. Now, there may be some issues, and some people do not like the property taxation system, but we follow state law that says you use the property taxation system to levy for service area cost. And people have issues with that. It's not a use system. So I have another attorney in my office who has 8 kids. He pays the same mill rate levy to provide for education, even though I have 2. We can't fix that in this legislation. Finally, this is not just a Fairbanks problem. I belong to the Alaska Municipal Attorneys Association, and I hear from my counterpart about their similar issues. We actually worked with the municipality of Anchorage on the language for this bill because they were experiencing similar issues. This is not a problem that can be solved by our borough assembly writing an ordinance, because this has its genesis in a state law change that occurred, I think, in 2001 or 2002, where we dramatically pulled back local government authority to alter boundaries. That is not how it existed up to that point. Up to that point, we were following essentially the constitutional requirement that the alterations be done by the assembly. So this is not what was contemplated when we first began service areas. We're trying to go back a little bit and restore a little bit of local control to deal with this issue. This is not just an urban problem. Fairbanks, as some of you may know, we have an urban center, but we're also the largest of our borough. We have a lot of rural areas, and where we see this problem occurring is in the rural areas, because constructed, maintained road access in those areas is at a premium. So I hope that answered some of your questions, and that concludes my remarks.
Thank you. Senator Wilkowski?
There was testimony that this should be resolved at the local level. And is it possible for a local municipality or borough to resolve this issue at the local level?
Absolutely not. Let me give you an example. We have a new road going in and a subdivision where two of the lots that are in a current one road service area will now be accessing another road service area's road rather than their own. To change that under current state law and put them in the appropriate road service area, we'd have to have separate elections. And we can't fix that with an ordinance, because we have to comply with state law.
Do you have a bill? Any other questions? Senator Cowdery.
Can you answer? When you created this road service area, I assume our statutes were in place then, and you created it within the statute, is that right?
Yes, and then the state law changed, and I can't recall whether it was 2001 or 2002.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for this presenter? If not, is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify? Would you please state your name and your affiliation for the record, please?
Hi, my name is Tammy Wilson, and I am from the Fairbanks North Star Borough. I actually flew down here to finally see you guys and talk to you.
Did you say you're representing North Star?
No,
or you're from the North
there. Star? I represent myself.
Okay,
no,
great. Thank you.
You probably don't want to admit that
record,
I represent them.
Okay, thank you.
One of the things is you ask, could this be taken care of locally, and what would the idea be? To me, the ball got dropped in the platting area. When these subdivisions come through, they have to go through a pretty stringent platting. And if they're going to be going through a road service area at that time, basically going through it at that time, before it gets approved, that's when this should have been taken care of. And that's why I really feel that they're kind of coming back and now trying to take care of something that somebody dropped the ball on. Because if I'm going to build a subdivision behind a road service, it's pretty easy to know that that's going to be my only access. So it would make logic sense to say, if you're going to make this your access, we're going to have to ask to have you joined. And if they then don't accept it, then they don't have to. But that's when it should have been solved, not now. And this is really passionate to me, because this last fall, we live on a private lane in which a subdivision built in front of us. So this last fall, they decided that they wanted everybody to become a road service, including the private section and a publicly dedicated area. Even though our section wouldn't be maintained, we would still pay the same amount into the roads as if the whole road was going to be maintained. So they were going to come and clear the roads on this section. We still would have had to maintain our own, because being private. So, you know, you're telling me there's a process to go through if this passes. So I'm going to tell you how this process works. I got it. I found out from my neighbors that after they signed the petition to have this happen. So I had to work backwards. I went to the rural services, and rural services in the borough is the area that makes up the road services. And I went in and explained to them, we are a private section. I don't believe that we could become a road service, because we are not a publicly dedicated road. My neighbor signed it assuming we would be taken care of, and have found since then that we won't. Can we be taken out? I was then told, rudely I might add, that we use those roads, don't you? And I'm like, yes, we do, but we have no choice. They changed our way that we used to get out and made us go through a subdivision instead of the whole private road that went to a public road. Well, then what do you want me to do about it? You need to pay too. Okay, so I wasn't happy with that decision. So then I go and get my neighbors, and we all attend the next borough assembly meeting. And we show them, the only problem I didn't show them a good map so they could really understand our problem, but I explained to them again that we are a private section. Yes, we are going to go through these roads, but we will not be maintained. Can we be taken out? Because my understanding is private roads cannot be put into road services. Again, they were like, no. You know, you're going to have to go through the vote. So on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, because that happens to be when our election is, the Tuesday of that week, I went to all my neighbors, knocked on their doors, reminded them to go vote on Monday or Tuesday, and we did get it turned down. Since then, and I have a copy for each of you too, I have received a letter from our attorney stating we should never have been put in. You know, it was a mistake, you know. However, what I don't understand is in this legislation, it basically says that if this is your only legal way in or out of the area that you live in, you would have to become part of this road service. Now it is my only access. So how can you say that you're a private road, you're not going to pay, but the public part's going to? I mean, it's almost like ironic. It goes against each other. So, you know, and just one last thing I'll put into it is that if you look at the examples that you were given, most of them were two or three houses here and two and three houses there. My understanding, and it's just, you know, the talk, you know how small towns are, that this is a bigger problem having to do with gravel pits. That gravel pits have come up behind road service, some road service areas, and they're tearing up the roads, and they have no way of putting those gravel pits in. Now, that's just what I've heard. That actually makes more sense to me because two or three houses are not going to do that much damage to a road. A gravel pit could do a lot of damage to a road. So I'm not really sure. And as far as if you just absolutely felt like you had to pass this, I would love to see a definition, and that's what I have here for you too, is a definition of a private road and a public road. That way, for a regular citizen like I was when I got this, I could go in, pull the law, and know immediately whether they could or could not put me into a road service just by a simple definition. And even though the borough today gave me what a public road is, this is how long it is. And believe me, it's confusing. For most people, they would not understand it. So I'm actually, if I had my way, I would ask you just to turn it down.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Wilikowski, please.
Thank you for coming down from Fairbanks. And I finally understand what you're saying.
I had to be really slow this time, too, because
well, I'm pretty dense. I can be pretty dense. But how did you pay for the private road before this subdivision came in? Were you paying for that yourself, or was someone paying for that?
Actually, we're like true Alaskans where I live, is that we go beg to neighbors and collect our money that direction. We actually have our own committee that gets all the complaints, but when we need money, we knock on the doors and say, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we hope you can give us. And if you have six mouths to feed and you can't give it to us, guess what? We clean your road off just like anybody else's. You know, so we maintain it ourselves.
I can understand your concern because you have this private road and then you have someone coming in and creating a whole new subdivision, and then now all of a sudden you have to go through that subdivision and you have to pay for the road through that subdivision to get to your house. Is that what you're saying?
If the road service had been successful, that's exactly what would have happened. But my biggest, but the added part on that now, knowing that we were put in this by mistake, is that it shows me that the borough does not even understand what they can and cannot do. Because they should have known immediately that we should never have been, that road annexation should never have even been coming up. So they didn't even understand at that point that we should not. And actually, if this hadn't come up and I probably didn't make such a big thing about it, I probably still wouldn't have a letter today telling me that it was done accidentally.
But if I couldn't, Mr. Chair, it would seem to me, though, that if you have a private road and you have, say, five people on the road and you're all paying roughly one-fifth, and all of a sudden you have a new subdivision and you add five more units, all of a sudden your road becomes half price. I mean, isn't that fair to say?
You mean if you had, like, five people living on the road and you still had the same amount of road?
If you had five people living on the road, then you know, I'm just doing some rough.
Right.
I know this isn't exact, but presumably everyone pays roughly one-fifth. But you add five more units, a new subdivision, then wouldn't that, shouldn't that cut down the amount that you pay? So instead of one out of five, you're not paying one out of ten.
The way that we do it does, because we just charge everybody the same on a private road. We don't have to value your home or anything like that. We just figure if it's going to cost me $1,000 this year to fund that road, we divide it amongst the homeowners. And at the same time, if somebody can't afford it, then we go back to somebody else and everybody and see if they can still, or we do less, you know. But, you know, I guess the other point of the whole thing is that the borough is now telling us that there's a difference between a private road and a public road. But nowhere in the distinctions that I have found makes that. The way I would read this bill, if I was just reading it, it would just basically state that if my legal access is this direction, it is not based on whether I am public or private, because it doesn't state it in this bill at all. In fact, in anything I've seen in the road services, and I'm not saying it's I've never found any definition in state law or in our borough law that states what a private road is. And I just think if you're going to start talking about roads and changing the rules, that the regular person ought to be able to go in easily to get the information to be able to understand it. And that's what really bothers me, that it's not easy to understand.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it. We should, pardon for this, but we have a CS, and I wonder if we can get a motion.
Is this?
Yeah, that's the one there.
This was on for number seven?
Uh-huh.
Oh, for the next bill?
Oh, no. Which one do you have?
I got the wrong bill. This is.
Oh, yeah, that's not the right one. Okay, good. We're still on 185, and I do have another person online that we should hear from real quick. Kodiak LIO, we have Ed Mahoney.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just got a call, actually, not very long ago, that this was going to be teleconference. It was my understanding earlier in the day that this was not going to be, but however, I'm not up to speed as to some of the concerns I had. I've been told here locally that maybe number four was removed or taken away from the bill. If it was, I think that's good, and if it wasn't, I still share the same concerns with you that I shared with you last time I testified, and that was pretty much when you have the access from another road other than a service district road that those people could opt out. After the last testimony I gave, I went home, and it would really have quite an impact. So I'm not quite sure where we're at here, if four did get taken out or not, but anyways, if it did not, I would still maintain the same opposition to number four as I did previously.
Thank you, Mr. Mahoney. Any questions for Mr. Mahoney? Mr. Mahoney, for your information, we're holding this bill today. We're not passing it out today, so you'll have time to continue to look at it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, is there any other questions from the committee? Anybody else in the audience would like to testify? If not, we're going to hold House Bill 185 and Senate Bill 136. And we're going to go on to, what's the next one on the list? Is it SJR 7?
Yes.
Okay, we're on SJR 7, title, which is, long title. Senator Olson's bill, are you going to speak on behalf? Senator Olson had to go to finance. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
For the record, please.
Staff to Senator Olson. And what I would like to say is that...
excuse me, before we do that, do we have a CS? Is this
yes,
a CS?
Yes, a CS.
Okay, Senator Cowdery.
Yes. I make a motion that we accept the CS for Senate Joint Resolution number 7.
Okay. Is there objection? If not, we are on the CS number 7. Thank you.
What I would like to say is that SJR 7 is in effect the same bill as HJR 18, and Senator Olson has asked me to let you know that we are in full support of that bill and hope it would move forward.
Okay.
So you still want me to go ahead and present this bill and you want to talk to that, that's fine, but HJR 18 is exactly the same.
Okay. Senator Cowdery?
You would prefer the House bill?
Yes, we would prefer the House bill move ahead.
Okay. So we'll go, you want to just go ahead and go to the House bill then?
Yes.
Okay, if there's no objection, then we'll go to the House bill. 18. For the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name, for the record, my name is Sonia Christensen. I'm staff to Representative Johansson. HGR 18 is a resolution in opposition to the provisions in the FAA's Next Generation Transportation System Reform Act.
Excuse me, let me ask you a question just to make sure we're on the same page here. Did we drop the CS, or is this a new CS that we need to adopt?
This is a new CS that needs to be adopted.
Okay, it's CS for House Joint Resolution Number 18. Could we have a motion to adopt it, please?
So moved.
Senator Cowdery?
Okay.
I'm sorry, did you have something to say?
Do you have version L is what we're working on?
Yes, it is version L.
Okay.
And the motion has been made. Is there an objection? Seeing none, we are on CS for House Joint Resolution Number 18, version L.
Okay.
For the record. Again, please.
Let's see here.
I'm sorry I interrupted your thought.
That's all right.
Partner. Go ahead.
HGR 18 is in opposition to FAA's Next Generation Transportation System Financing Reform Act of 2007 that imposes air traffic control user fees, increases aviation fuel and aviation gas taxes, and reduces airport funding. There's also a few different witnesses online if you have any more specific questions about the federal legislation. Because of Alaska's unique geography and limited road access, Alaska depends heavily on aviation as a means for transportation, medical needs, mail distribution, recreation, supplies, and goods. With the aviation fuel and aviation gas tax increase, FAA's legislation will make flying much more expensive for Alaskans and make the prices of shipping goods and supplies more expensive. With the FAA legislation, air traffic control user fees will decrease the congressional role in determining FAA spending. This gives more power to the FAA to make decisions for all airports, not taking into consideration Alaska's needs and favoring the larger airline hubs. I am happy to answer any questions that the committee has, and as I mentioned before, there's a few other people online.
Okay. Any questions for the presenter? Senator Cowdery?
The first version, I think, was jet airplane, jet-powered. Was that, am I right?
The first version?
This one speaks to propeller-driven.
This speaks just for propeller driven propeller driven airplane, but not jet airplane.
Those changes were recommended by Senator Olson's office, and I believe that his staff will speak to those.
Thank you.
Could you answer it for the record, please? Your name and affiliation, and would you answer that question specifically for Senator Cowdery?
Yes. Jenny Osterman, staff to Senator Olson. And yes, we did request that propeller-driven and rotor-equipped aircraft be specified in this bill because there was no differentiation between them and the jet fuel. The jet.
Any other questions for either of the two? Senator Wilkowski.
Are we excluding jet-driven aircraft in this?
It's my understanding that jet-driven aircraft are specifically included in the federal legislation.
Yes.
And so what we're doing is we're excluding the propeller-driven and the rotor-equipped from. We're telling them that we'd like to have them excluded.
We would like only the propeller-driven.
Yes, only propeller-driven and rotor.
Is there a reason why we wouldn't want to include the jet?
Well, there may be. I'm sorry, I don't.
There's some gentleman online from the Alaska Airmen Association might be able to answer that better than the presenter. Would you rather have them do that?
Yes, I would.
And we have Wilfred Ryan from Alaska Air Carrier Association and Tom George from Aircraft Owners. If you could hold that question, Senator Wilkowski, we could have that answered. Do you have any more to present? I guess you don't, huh? So you're leaving the chair. Well, we'll go off net then and talk to, first of all, Dee Hansen from the Alaska Airmen Association.
Thank you very much. Are you hearing me okay?
We hear you fine. With your name and affiliation for the...
It's a little bit garbled on my end. My name is Dee Hansen. I am the Executive Director of the Alaska Airmen's Association. I am a pilot, and I fly a 1955 Super Cub that was owned by my grandfather. We have over 2,200 members across the state. Our mission is to promote general aviation in Alaska. The Airmen's Association is opposed to the FAA Refinancing Act and is particularly concerned about the impact of the proposed increase in gas tax in Alaska for general aviation aircraft. As you know, a very large percentage of our state is accessible only by aircraft. In Alaska, the airplane is not a luxury item. It is a tool. Alaskans use their airplanes as if it were a vehicle to haul groceries, building supplies, fuel, and family, not to mention weekly visits to our remote postal distribution centers. Alaskans use airplanes to travel to neighboring communities to watch rival athletic events. We rely on our airplanes for recreation and hunting, as well as business applications such as guiding, flight seeing, game surveys, and search and rescue. The price of fuel today is already a concern. At Lakehood Seaplane Base, the largest seaplane base in the world and the location of our main office, fuel currently costs $4.67 a gallon, up from $2.95 2 years ago. For those of our members that rely on their airplane to commute to and from work, this will be a financial hardship. We have members that live remotely, flying their private general aviation aircraft to Anchorage from Big Lake and Talkeetna. Those of us living in remote villages who depend solely on aircraft will have no choice at all. Our urban members are certainly looking at whether to fly or not to fly. With this increased fuel cost, you can be assured that people will be flying their aircraft less, canceling the perceived advantage of increased revenue from this fuel tax. The other side of this is that people who are flying less are less proficient in their piloting skills. Therefore, this now becomes a safety issue. There will also be an impact on the businesses that support aviation, such as maintenance facilities, avionics shops, parts suppliers, and small aviation parts manufacturers. Many of these businesses are Alaska-owned and operated. They're not large stateside corporations. In conclusion, the Alaska Airmen's Association does not support the FAA Transportation System Financing Reform Act that increases aviation fuel and gas taxes. Adding another 70 cents a gallon to the backs of general aviation pilots with already historically high fuel prices is a move in the wrong direction. It is our understanding that the current tax structure will adequately support the FAA. We want to stay with this system, which has been proven to work. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions for the presenter? Senator Cowdery?
Do you have the committee substitute that you refer to, the House Joint Resolution number 18, before you?
I'm sorry?
The committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 18 that we adopted. Do you have that in front of you?
I do not have a copy of that. I'm sorry.
Maybe the sponsor could tell the difference.
Would you please hold it? Your name and affiliation for the record again, please.
Sonia Christensen, staff to Representative Johansson. Would you like me to read through the changes of the CS?
Well, could you summarize them, or do you have to read them? You can read them if you'd like to. Presenter does not have a copy of the CS in front of her.
Sure. The changes to the CS version L that we have in front of us, it adds increased aviation fuel and aviation gas taxes. More specifically, it says on the operators of propeller-driven or rotor-equipped aircraft used for transportation between points within the state of Alaska. It adds that in the title, and it also adds that in the Be It Resolved section on page 2.
Thank you. Did Ms. Hansen, did you hear the
Yes, I did. And you're asking if I agree with that?
Yes.
I don't think any increased fuel tax is a good thing for Alaska. Whether it be propeller-driven, you know, turbine-driven, or jet.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Hansen? Now, thank you for your I hope you were online earlier when we asked the question of the of Senator Olson whether he would support HJR 18 in lieu of his bill.
Uh-huh.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Andrew Sabella, Sabula, aircraft owners.
Yes, thank you. You can hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Would you like to testify?
Yes, I would.
Okay, your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Okay, my name is Andrew Sabula. I'm Executive Vice President of Government Affairs for the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. We represent 411,000 pilots across the country and 4,200 pilots in the state of Alaska. And I wanted to thank you for taking the time from the business that you have before you on the state to review this resolution, which we urge you to pass, that would send a strong message to people in Washington, D.C. that this FAA proposal is not good for general aviation and particularly not good for the state of Alaska. It has three major provisions in it or actions that would adversely affect the state. It has a huge tax hike. It imposes user fees. It removes or certainly reduces congressional control and oversight of the aviation system, and it cuts the federal investment in airports, and that's a very important component of this. I think that Dee did a great job of giving you a sense about what it means for the tax increase. I did want to just talk for a moment about the user fees. Right now, the aviation system you do not have to pay a fee to actually fly. You pay taxes on fuel or if you're carrying people for transportation for hire, there are taxes that are assessed on those individuals. But what the FAA is doing is actually wanting to assess fees for flying in the aviation system. And that is something that we think is a bad road to go down, because what it does is it will put Congress in a lesser position for their authority over expenditures and spending that is made by the FAA. And we don't think that that's going to be good for Alaska or anybody else in the U.S. I also just wanted to mention that on the topic of airports, the overall FAA bill cuts airport spending by $1 billion, which is about a third. And the concern for people in Alaska is that you're going to be competing with airports across the country. Capacity is a big issue in those decisions that would be made by the FAA. And so Alaska, I think, is not going to fare well on some of those decisions. So we don't believe that cut in spending is good for Alaska and good for the airports that serve so many communities up there. I just wanted to end with a comment from Congressman Don Young, who wrote a letter to one of our members that was in response to some concerns this member was raising. And his comment back was, "I do not endorse the proposed plan which was submitted to Congress." And so I would ask that your committee approve this resolution, let it move forward and get passed, because right now the Senate is looking at their bill and will right now be targeted for a markup next Tuesday on May 8th. And so it's important that this message gets to Senator Stevens, Senator Murkowski, and other members of the Senate Commerce Committee.
Thank you for your presentation. Any questions from the members of the committee? Senator Wilkin has a question for you.
Thank you, sir, for being with us today, taking your time. Just a question of you. You're not against the Next Generation Air Transportation initiative that's going on to upgrade our airports and our ATC. This resolution expresses your displeasure with the way it's funded. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, we've worked very closely with people in the state of Alaska on the Capstone program, which is kind of an advanced research effort on something called ADS-B, which is going to be the real backbone for the future next generation system. As a matter of fact, in our headquarters office here in Frederick, Maryland, we have one of the ground-based uplink systems and have you know, again, are a strong supporter of the next generation, but the way that the FAA's approach financing this is definitely not the right direction to go in. As a matter of fact, the General Accountability Office, as well as the Department of Transportation Inspector General's Office, have both said that the improvements, the upgrades that are needed for the air traffic control system can be financed using the existing system of taxes on aviation users.
Okay, thank you. And that was my next question. If we don't do it in this method across the United States, how do we come up with the tens of billions that we're going to need to modernize our airspace?
Yeah, and again, I would just reiterate what I said, that the existing system of fuel taxes as well as the taxes on airline passengers can provide the needed revenue stream for financing the modernization of the air traffic control system.
So we would just increase existing taxes and not reach out to new donors?
Well, actually, the Department of Transportation Inspector General and the General Accountability Office said that at the existing rates, it would actually provide the revenues that are needed. As in any budget, there are two streams of revenues. So the debate will be over how much general fund support will be there for the aviation system and how much taxpayer support from aviation users will be there. Right now, the split is about 25% or so comes from the general taxpayers and about 75% from aviation users. Obviously, if you want more from aviation users, then taxes would have to go up by some amount. So that's probably the center of the debate. Under the FAA bill, what they do is they come up with a new system of financing from aviation users, as well as reducing the amounts that come from general taxpayers.
Yeah, one other. Senator. You know, Senator Stevens, maybe 8 years ago, somewhere there, really went out on a limb and fought for us to be the rollout of Capstone. And I don't know how many tens of millions he's gotten for us for Capstone. And by all accounts, it's been a ringing success in Alaska. I think we've all agreed on that. So does this put Alaska in a bit of a selfish situation in that we've been the beneficiaries of federal monies, and now those folks that fly under Capstone are reluctant to the point of making a formal resolution that we don't want to help improve the system that Capstone precedes or follows?
Well, if I could, I would actually say that Alaska has been a tremendous leader in proving the technology, and mm-hmm. quite frankly, we all point to Alaska and the success that you've had there. So
sure.
I wouldn't put it in a realm that you've been selfish. As a matter of fact, you've really been a test bed. So we're actually very appreciative of the work that's gone up there. I think the big question here as it relates to the state of Alaska is that you have a very unique system that involves general aviation at a level that it has no equal in the rest of the country. And so I think by passing this resolution, you're not being selfish. You're just saying to the U.S. Congress, we have some concerns, and you'd be joining a lot of communities across the country that have expressed similar concerns over this bill.
Sure, and I appreciate that. And my the word perhaps selfish was wrong. Perhaps thankful is a better word, in that we have benefited with Capstone, but we've done it with, if I remember right, 100% federal money. And so that may put our senator in a bit of a bind. When someone looks at him and says, we've funded your Capstone and now we're asking for some recognition that we've helped you and you've come out in a resolution and said, no, we don't want to help. So obviously Senator Stevens has asked for this and I'm certainly supportive. I think sometimes that we put him in difficult situations and this may be one of them, but I'm certainly supportive and I thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much for your presentation. We're on off net, and we'll go to Tom George, who's also with the Aircraft Owners. Would you like to add to the former presentation?
Yes, I would briefly. My name's Tom George. I serve as the Alaska representative of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. And I'll just touch on a few points that go along with what the other speakers have said. The user fee, and actually let me kind of work backwards to respond to Senator Wilkins' comment. I don't believe this is a matter of Alaskans saying they don't want to pay. This just gets to how we pay. We will still pay handsomely, even just continuing the old process. So I don't believe we're putting Senator Stevens in any kind of a bind in that regard. But our concerns are that we're looking at changing from assessing a big fuel tax, a big increase in fuel tax to general aviation, but also user fees to commercial aviation, where if you're hauling passengers and you're landing or taking off at airports with control towers that exceed a certain capacity, you'll now be charged a fee to do that. And the airports in Alaska that would fit under this proposal include Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and Bethel. But our concern is that this is merely the camel's nose under the tent, that we've seen in other countries that these fees have expanded to include far more services such as weather briefings, touch and go, you know, landings and takeoffs at airports, flight plans, etc. And also the bills constructed to have the rates be adjusted on a, I believe it's an annual basis. So while they're calculated initially based on historical traffic, if the higher fuel taxes decrease the amount of flying, then those other fees are going to be adjusted to cover the cost. And we think that's a slippery slope we need to be very careful of. There's been some discussion already of the capstone program. You know, part of why it was really important to pioneer the ADS-B technology through the capstone program in Alaska was because we have a much higher accident rate than the rest of the country. And fortunately, the capstone program is helping to bring that situation in line. However, if we get to charging for some of those services to where pilots are forced to decide on whether to access weather instrument approaches in towered airports as opposed to managing their pocketbook, we're fearful that actually there would be a decline in aviation safety, and we've actually been working very hard to go the other way. Another aspect of this, which is we think bad for Alaska, is that part of the plan is to establish an air transportation system advisory board, which would have approval over this user fee system. And this takes a step toward removing Congress from the oversight role that it plays today. And as Alaskans, we count on that oversight. It's hard enough when the FAA comes out with some national mandate that's not a good fit to Alaskan conditions. We often have to appeal to our congressional delegation to get fair and equitable treatment regarding federal mandates like that. In the new system, our chances of being able to have our congressman get the FAA's attention would be even more remote, and we don't think that's good for the state. So with those thoughts in mind, yes, we'd like you to support this resolution, and I think it would help us move forward and keep a sane aviation funding process that would benefit not only the state of Alaska, but the entire nation. Thanks for your attention to this issue.
Thank you, Mr. George, for your testimony. Are there any members of the committee who would like to ask a question of Mr. George? Well, seeing none, thank you very much. We'll go now to Wilfred Ryan from Alaska Air Carriers Association.
Know me as Boyack. I am the president of Alaska Air Carriers Association and also president of a regional cargo airline that provides service to 70 communities in northwest Alaska. I'd like to clarify a couple comments. First off, that Mr. Wilkins made believe that the fuel tax user fee issue is a national issue and one not specific to Alaska. The Air Care Association has long felt that the users of the system has paid their fair share in services that's supplied by the federal government through the fuel excise tax program, through the passenger tax program, and also through the freight excise tax program. And I'd also like to compliment Ms. Hansen, Mr. Cibula, and Mr. Tom George for their excellent comments. The Alaska Air Care Association represents a diverse group. We have 70 active members and 80 associate members. ranging from single pilot operators to large regional and national freight carriers. We object to the concept outlined in the administrator's FAA reauthorization proposal of the Next Generation Air Transportation Reform Act of 2007, especially to the proposed user fee program. The fuel tax benefits large regional and national carriers, but not small carriers or the general aviation user group. For example, regional carriers compute that the proposed huge increase in fuel tax would be less than the 7.5% passenger tax based on their high volumes of passengers carried compared to the average aircraft fuel price. This program benefits those carriers considerably. Conversely, the proposed increased fuel tax marginalizes small carriers and private individuals comprising their ability to operate and fly small aircraft. While we cannot fully support the fuel tax issue, we join you to oppose any user fee associated with the use of the National Airspace System or the removal of congressional oversight over the FAA. Mr. Chairman, I make myself available for any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Any questions this afternoon? I don't see any this afternoon, so Mr. Ryan, thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify? Hearing none, we'll close public testimony. And what is the wish of the committee?
Hold this bill till talk to the sponsor.
You want to talk to the sponsor?
Yes.
Is there an objection to holding the bill? If not, we are going to hold the bill so that we can have a discussion with the sponsor. Thank you very much. That's all we have on our agenda today. And if there's no objection, we're adjourned.
Reason.